Well, Ken, I know you spend a lot of your time in England and doing a lot of work over there with Orchestra of the Swan and other and recording projects, etc. But why do you find it exciting, first of all, to be a conductor for Mahlerfest over here in Boulder, Colorado?
It's a great combination of music and lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, I have been visiting Colorado since I was a little kid. Right? We used to spend our summers there when I was young with my family. I'd love that part of the world. Later summers at Aspen as a student. So I love all things Rocky Mountain, the food, the beer, the lifestyle, right. Everything. So that part is great. And Mahler is, you know, one of my absolute greatest musical loves. I've been aware of Colorado Mahlerfest long before I was involved in it. And it suits my ethos and my musical taste just down to a T, and it really is a dream job for me, and I look forward to it every year.
You know, Mahler himself had a wonderful sense of humor. Like, he was always, you know, putting out these great pithy little one-liners or two-worders or whatever. And yet, a lot of people who listen to Mahler take him with extreme seriousness, and I think there's some appropriateness to that because his music, you know, tackles serious issues. But I also find that there's a lot of joy, a lot of satire. Do you enjoy his intensity and his heaviness?
Yeah, I think in order for us to relate to him as an artist, it's helpful to understand him as a relatable human being. I mean, in one sense, he's not relatable. He's infinitely more musically talented than just about anyone you or I will have ever encountered. And I've met a lot of great musicians in my life, but he was really phenomenally gifted at music. Mm-hmm. But in every other way, you know, he was a person with all the traits that we all share, highs and lows, disappointments and successes. He was a weird mixture of confident and insecure. And humor is a big part of being a human being. It's one of the things that helps us get through life. You can't really cope with life unless you can laugh at it every once in a while. There's a lot of humor in Mahler's First Symphony, you know, more than most symphonies, and certainly more than most Austro-German symphonies between, say, sure, Beethoven and Mahler. You know, Beethoven was himself a great humorist. I mean, the last movements of his second, fourth, and eighth symphonies are all kind of laugh-out-loud funny in places. But somehow, by the time Beethoven was done with his ninth symphony, the symphony as a genre had taken on this aura of being one of the most hallowed artistic forms in Western art music. And so I think cracking a joke in the midst of a symphony was kind of frowned on after Beethoven for a while. But there's a lot of humor in Mahler 1. There's a painting that Mahler based the third movement of the First Symphony on called The Hunter's Funeral, and it shows the deceased hunter, you know, laid out on the way to his burial, being carried by a funeral procession of all the forest animals he would have hunted. I mean, to me, that's just wonderfully funny and ironic and clever on many, many levels. So, yeah, I think it behooves us to remember that, you know, he was looking to express everything about the human condition and not just sob into his beer in his music.
The other thing that's actually that I want to talk about for sure, this is new for the Mahlerfest, that you used to have two big orchestral performances. This time you have one chamber performance and one big performance. And it's very exciting because you get more Mahler that way. And you also are getting composers like Ullmann and Korngold. You got Beethoven on your program on the Sunday concert. Tell me about, first of all, why you chose to bring in chamber music and also why you're bringing other composers in. Are they there to help us understand Mahler better? What was your inspiration to bring these composers in?
It's a sign of the success that conductors like Robert Olson, who founded the Mahler Symphony, had in the last generation bringing Mahler's music into the mainstream, that the musical world has changed a lot in 30 years. When Bob started Mahlerfest, one of the reasons was nowhere in the Rocky Mountain region was anyone doing Mahler with any regularity at all. Now, not only does Mahlerfest do it every year, but every orchestra up and down the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains will do a Mahler symphony almost every year. So for the festival to stay relevant and interesting, I felt, as the new artistic director, that we wanted to keep Mahler at the absolute center of everything about the festival, but let him be the center of a wheel with longer spokes coming out from it, if you understand what I'm saying. And that Mahler could be the framework through which we explore the work of composers who were influenced by him, a framework through which we could look at the history of music leading up to him, the influences that he had, and how he came to be who he was, and also how he reflects his own times. And that historic moment in turn of the century, Vienna and New York, is incredibly interesting on, you know, every possible level. It was a golden age for the visual arts, for literature, for emergence of new ideas about architecture. And Mahler knew many of the key figures in all those different mediums and stuff. So, you know, that was one of my early aims. So looking at the themes of this year, we've got a big focus on Mahler and Beethoven. Beethoven was absolutely Mahler's hero and idol and inspiration. But we're looking at how Mahler interpreted Beethoven as a working conductor, not just how Beethoven's music influenced Mahler. So we can look at how Beethoven's music influenced Mahler by looking at a piece like Beethoven's Fourth Symphony, which Mahler used as a sort of template in the opening of his First Symphony. And in doing so, we'll have a performance of Beethoven 4, not for full orchestra, but in the transcription for solo piano by Franz Liszt. David Korovar will play that on the Wednesday concert, and that should be really, really interesting. And that begins also a theme of looking at arrangements, how one composer engages with the music of another composer. So coming back to Mahler and Beethoven, on the Saturday night concert with the Chamber Orchestra Forces, we'll have Mahler's string orchestra arrangement of Beethoven's F minor string quartet, what Beethoven called the Serioso Quartet, which is a very radical, bracing, exciting, intense work of Beethoven. Period, before he enters his proper late style, everything gets very short and very brusque and very direct and energetic, and something in that music really excited Mahler and made him think that it would work well as an orchestral piece. And then in the Sunday afternoon full orchestra concert, we'll start with Mahler's orchestration of Beethoven's Leonore Overture No. 3. At that point, was dealing with an orchestra that had changed enormously from Beethoven's time. It almost doubled in size. And so there was a lot more he could do to make flexible use of huge orchestral forces. But also, he was very keen to mark into the parts all the expressive stuff that he wanted. So for me, it's an interesting challenge. Normally, the conductor sets their interpretation, trying to be as close as they can to the composer's original intent. I can look at Beethoven's original, but I can now also look at Mahler's arrangement of Beethoven and see that Mahler has added dynamics, he's changed phrasings, he's changed some articulations and stuff. And so I'll be trying to make sense of those and give the audience something of a feel of what it would have been like to hear Mahler conduct this incredible piece.
It seems, I guess my last question, it just seems as though you've made more work for yourself out here, which is great. I mean, we're thrilled because we get to hear more music, but my goodness, you've got a bigger program for you as a conductor than you've ever had before in terms of variety.
Well, conducting is it's both the job, but it's also the reward for everything that goes into a project, you know, is the actual music. And do the same program twice in 2 days, if you know that you know, people can sort of pick and choose which time they come, and that you're still going to have empty seats. So we thought, you know, let's make this one performance of the Mahler an absolute can't-miss event. You know, one chance to hear it, the focal point of the whole festival. And we want that to be kind of the case for all our festival events, you know, that as people get to know what we're up to and see how the festival develops, that there's a sort of excitement and anticipation of everything that's on the schedule.